Grace, mercy, and peace to God our Father, and Christ Jesus, his only Son, our risen Lord. Our text is our gospel lesson this night. And this is one of those gospel lessons where you read it and you say, this is the gospel of the Lord. And maybe you don't, but in my mind, I say that and I go, this is the gospel of the Lord. But wow, that doesn't sound like a lot of good news. Because it really doesn't sound like a lot of gospel. It sounds like a whole lot of law. You didn't do this. Therefore, you are condemned. And there's a whole lot of people, all the ones who were sent off to the left, who are standing around going, wait, what? When didn't we do that? What are you talking about? We have no idea when we didn't comply with this law. And Christ merely says, I say to you, you did not do it to the least of my people, therefore you didn't do it to me. You are condemned. Goodbye. Equally confused are the people on the right who are blessed, who are told, you have done all of these great things. And they have no idea what Jesus is talking about. When did we see you? When did we clothe you? When did we do any of these things that you said we did, that you've given us credit for? We're not ungrateful, but we have no idea how we earned this blessing. Christ merely responds, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. All of the crowd at the end of time, the time of the resurrection of the dead, they're all confused. Those who are blessed, who are receiving eternal life, have no idea how they earned it. And those who are condemned have no idea how they completely screwed this up. This is the gospel of the Lord. It is perhaps the most confusing gospel lesson we have in the entire church year. And fittingly enough, it is the last gospel lesson for the church year. Next week, we begin again our march towards the life of Christ, Advent. And fittingly enough, it continues the theme of anticipating the end as we approach the beginning of the life of Christ. But this gospel lesson, we have this focus upon the law. So I think it's natural to take our focus and look to the law of God, look to the Ten Commandments, and examine our life in terms of how this begins, how we live according to God's commands, and examine our lives in that respect. And unfortunately, at least for me, I find myself wanting. I don't even get past the first commandment, and I already realize I'm one of those losers on the left, because I do not live according to what Christ teaches us. When we're to honor our Father before all things. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther teaches that we're to fear, love, and God, fear, love, and trust in God before all things. And it'd be nice to say, oh yeah, I always do that. But I know I don't. It'd be great to, you know, stand there in front of a confirmation class and go, oh yeah, you know, I always do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep, no problem. Yep. I've never been convicted of murder. I've never been convicted of burglary. I've never been convicted in a court of law of doing this, that, or anything else. But if we look to the catechism, and we look at what Dr. Luther talks about when he says what these commandments mean, not just what the Pharisees taught there at the Temple Mount when they were arguing with Jesus about who was going to earn their way into heaven. If we look at the meaning of the commandments, we see that we're lost. It takes me about, you know, 1.5 seconds to look in the mirror in the morning and go, oh yeah, that sinner who does not qualify to be at the right of the hand of God in this parable is right here. Doesn't take very long at all. I can walk from my bed into the bathroom and go to shave, and I already know that I should be one of the goats. I don't kid myself to think I would qualify to be one of the sheep standing there going, well, I'm pleased that I'm one of the blessed who are told, you know, welcome into the kingdom of heaven, but I have no idea why. I know I'd be one of the goats standing there on the left, equally confused as to, I don't really know how I screwed this up. I have visited probably 36 felons. Maybe probably a dozen murderers in prison for years. I have been at the bedside of dozens of people dying in the hospitals and hospice and nursing homes. I have spent, you know, total number of hours, you know, probably years in hospitals visiting people. In prisons visiting people, easily years. Overseas visiting guys who are just, they are emotionally a wreck and in need of counseling. You know, total number of hours, years of time. But none of that matters. What we have done isn't what Matthew was talking about. What we have done isn't what Christ is teaching here. He's talking about our identity in Him, who we are in Christ, and whether we are His or we are the devil's. Do we belong to Him, to Christ our Lord? Are we the sheep that look to Him to be the shepherd? Are we the goats who refuse to be led? That's what is going on here. Do you acknowledge? Are you willing to come to the baptismal font and be baptized and give up your identity and become a child of God. To live your life as a Christian, as a little Christ. To give up that American cult of individualism and say, well, I don't really want that. What I want to be is the child of God. What I want to be is a little Christ who follows Jesus and does what he wants me to do, who does what he does, who goes where he goes, and helps people, not because I'm really thinking about it, but it's just what I do. It's whether you cling to the identity of being a Christian. Whether you cling to your baptismal promise, the promise given here at the baptismal font. The water pours upon you. The gift of the Holy Spirit creates in you a living faith in Christ. It draws you into Him and brings you to eternal life. It brings you into a life of the sheep. You don't even realize it. It is so much a part of you that you don't even realize that that's who you are. You have changed. That is the promise. That is the gift of eternal life. That you become something different. That you flee from temptation, that you flee from the arrogance, that you flee from the independence of, I'm going to do whatever it is I want because I want to do it and no one can tell me what to do. You flee from that and you run to Christ. You cling to that baptismal identity. You cling to life in Jesus. You cling to being one of the sheep. You cling to life everlasting. You cling to peace. You cling to serving each other. You cling to the gift of the Holy Spirit, the creation of a faith in Christ, a creation of a life, a faith. A faith that is everlasting. And may the life and faith that is truly a gift be with you all.